Sleep expert Deirdre McSwinney on News Talk Breakfast earlier in advance of Minister for Health Simon Harris's new sleep initiative to combat sleep deprivation was talking about what can and should be done and how sleep is affecting young people and how they're living their lives. Just take a listen to this.
Bedrooms now have become a kind of place of recreation, as opposed to just simply the area where you just fell in under your duvet and went off to sleep till the morning. Younger people are definitely kind of living in their bedrooms. So the study desk might be over in the corner. And then, as you say, the social media thing has really whizzed off to a huge degree.
So are we at crisis point, as has been suggested by some people, when it comes to sleep deprivation? Is there anything that parents can do about it? To discuss this now, I'm joined by senior clinical child psychologist Mark Smith. Mark, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kira.
How big an issue is sleep deprivation in our kids, in our adolescents currently?
It's quite a significant factor. And I suppose what we know is that sleep is a very important factor in our mental health, our well-being, our day-to-day ability to function. And young people need that to be able to. So when they're sleep deprived the following morning, they're irritable, they're more emotionally labile, they find it harder to concentrate. So it is having quite a significant difficulty with them.
If we, supposing we presume that lots of kids are sleep deprived and maybe not getting enough rest at night or what have you, does that have a knock-on effect on their ability to work in school? Does it have a knock-on effect on their mental health?
Most definitely. So in our kind of standard intakes when we meet young people, one of the things we'll always ask is how much sleep they're getting and whether they have their phone in the bedroom at night time. And certainly we do know that the presence of smartphones in bedrooms does affect both the quality and the quantity of sleep that young people are getting, but it is only one of the number of factors that impact on their sleep.
If somebody was sleep deprived, like properly sleep deprived, they're way down on their sleep requirements, what kind of symptoms would they be experiencing on an average day?
On an average day, they're going to find it harder to concentrate. You're going to see kind of drops in their grades in school. They might be more irritable about every small day request that their parents or their friends might ask of them. Their mood might drop, their anxiety level. So we need sleep to function in the same way that we need exercise and we need food. It's one of those kind of crucial things that we need to exist and to function on a daily basis.
Okay. What is the sleep requirement, say, for somebody in their, you know, early teens? They're still growing. They're 13, they're 14. How many hours of sleep a day would our, you know, average young adolescent need?
For your adolescents, what the guidelines would say is anywhere between 8 to 10 hours would be what the guideline would say. Certainly when I mention that to young people, they look at me with kind of their eyes open. They don't get anything like that. But certainly that's what the guidelines would recommend.
Yeah. So 8 to 10 hours, that means if your child is getting up, for example, as an average time at 7 or half 7, they should be asleep by around somewhere between 9:30 and 10:30.
Realistically, yeah. And I suppose asleep by that point, but the kind of the process of starting to go to sleep should start much earlier. So that kind of having a good sleep hygiene should start at least an hour to an hour and a half before that. So there are certain things that both young people and I suppose the topic of this conversation, what parents can do to help them with that, is the very common sense things like limiting their intake of their caffeine, limiting intake of fluids. So lots of younger kids will drink lots before going to bed and then wake up in the middle of the night needing to go to the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids who have really kind of inactive lifestyles find it hard to go to sleep because they're not getting enough exercise.
Okay.
And one of the biggest things, I suppose, is routine.
Okay.
So for kids and young people in particular, to have well-established routines that will aid them in getting off to sleep.
Do you think one of the things that has happened is for kids of that age that who may have had a bedtime routine when they were in primary school, you know, they may have been sent to bed at a set time,
yeah.
They may have had a bit of a read or whatever and then gone asleep, that changes. They go into secondary school, the parents are kind of going, well, you're a big boy or you're a big girl now, I suppose you can probably pick a little bit better about when you might go to bed or what have you. Do you think that because the hard point of getting up in the morning is probably immovable, so they're getting up at the same time and that's a routine, but the going to bed routine has fallen to bits for a lot of teens?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think sometimes we expect a little bit too much of teenagers, that they will have developed that insight and the ability to know, do you know what, I should probably head off to bed now because I'll find it hard to function and concentrate in school in the morning, and I really should have put away my phone and not watched that next program on Netflix because I'll be too tired. So I think that period where we need kind of that guidance and support from parents to encourage going to bed at a reasonable time needs to continue into adolescence.
And I'm glad you mentioned about the phones, because you know you were saying that some of the things that are the reasons why kids aren't sleeping as well as they might have would be to do with poor bedtime routine, maybe drinking too much caffeine, not enough exercise. But I would imagine the elephant in the room is the smartphone attached to the end of the arm for most teenagers.
It's certainly definitely one of the factors. And we know that, say, the light emitted from the devices can impact on the young person's kind of normal circadian rhythm. The temptation to wake up and check Snapchat or Instagram for a like is there. So it is one of the things that makes it more difficult, that temptation. But we also know that young people are prone to needing and to want instant gratification. And if it's near them, they're going to check it. And that's just a reality of being a teenager.
Okay. So if you were advising, parents, Mark, because people are texting, people say, have parents no cop on anymore? Obviously, people need sleep. Modern parents are so dumb, it's unreal. Now, that's a little bit harsh on parents. But the truth is, we know that sleep levels have fallen in young people from about 9 hours in the 1960s to about 6.5 hours now. So that most of them are, in fact, chronically sleep deprived. It does have a knock-on effect on their academic performance and their mental health and all this. So what should parents do? What kind of things should they initiate in their homes when the kids don't know what's good for them themselves? What should the parents be doing to encourage good sleep?
I certainly wouldn't be encouraging being Irish and parents being one of myself. And I think parents themselves being exhausted from daily life makes it harder to parent.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things. Well, first of all, is if you are giving your young person access to a phone or a smart device, is set the expectation from the very beginning. So if the boundary is that you hand it up before bedtime, then it's much easier to kind of keep that routine going.
So from the very beginning, when your child gets their first
smartphone, set that expectation.
That phone is handed over an hour or two before bedtime.
Sure. And you need to be ready for, you're the worst parent in the world, my older friends always have it, it's not fair. You need to be ready for that emotionally and not back down from it. So when you put in a boundary, stick with that boundary. Mm-hmm. They'll also use things like, well, I can't get up in the morning because I use that as my alarm. Be ready for that. Get them an old-fashioned radio alarm clock. So that removes that problem.
Which costs about a tenner in the supermarket or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly, exactly. So that's another. So be ready for the excuses. Be ready for the emotional blackmail that's going to come with that. We also know that there are certain parents where this is already a problem. So in extreme cases, we would meet young people where their sleep-wake routine is completely reversed. So they'll be awake all night and sleep all day. And they're difficult situations for parents to be in. So if it's already become a difficulty, one of the temptations is to go in, take the phone, go cold turkey. Now it's gone at nighttime. What's likely to happen then is you're going to get a severe emotional and behavioural reaction.
Okay.
Then it doesn't become about the phone anymore, it becomes about the behaviour. So the more difficult the situation is where they have the phone at nighttime, the smaller the incremental steps you need to have to take it away.
Okay.
So say, for example, taking it away, if they have it at 11 o'clock at night, you take it away 5 minutes earlier over the course of 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
They're not going to like it, but you shouldn't expect them to. That's the most important thing. You shouldn't expect a young person to agree with you about this boundary, just to comply with it.
Okay. So sometimes you're not going to get some kind of an agreed consensus with your kids. Sometimes you're just going to impose something for their own good. Is that basically what we're saying?
Absolutely. And we expect too much. You know, when they get resentful and angry, we then debate with them about it. These are not things that are up for debate. These are things that need to be put in place. And we shouldn't expect them to. So why debate about things that are non-debatable? So we don't debate about whether young people should go to school or not. It's non-debatable. So going to bed at nighttime and that sleep routine, if you start to debate it, what you're telling that young person in their mind is, this is negotiable.
And there's wriggle room.
Exactly. If there's no, going to sleep and getting sleep is so necessary for your development, there should be no wriggle room, certainly in the early stages.
Okay.
As they get older and into their teenage years, you can have more discussions about it. But kind of pre-teens, there's no room for negotiation.
All right. Okay. I think we'll leave it there. But thank you for that. So that is Mark Smith, their clinical child psychologist. You heard what he had to say. Chronic sleep deprivation. The vast majority of kids not getting enough sleep. Lots of different reasons. A big one is smartphones. No debate. It goes out of the room. And as Kira said, she's not me. A different Kira has texted in and said, gadgets downstairs, end of. And I think she's absolutely right. And Peter says, I was told as a kid that we shouldn't watch TV before we go to bed or we wouldn't sleep. Now my 13-year-old is on her phone 2 hours before sleeping and sleeps well 8 hours every night. It's another invented problem that every generation seems to seek. I think they're getting less sleep. I think they really are. Let me know what you think. 53106. We would love to hear from you, or 1894 53106.